magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 309, recording on June 2nd, 2017. This is the first time you've listened to the Touch Arcade Show. You stumbled across us on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the other places that our podcast gets indexed. Thanks for downloading. We are an iPhone game site. You can visit us by going to toucharcade.com. There's also a companion video version of this podcast available if you back us on Patreon. We're primarily supported on Patreon, so you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/toucharcade, or just follow any of the links on the site for it. If you don't feel like backing us on Patreon, you can subscribe to us on Twitch at twitch.tv/toucharcade. If you've got Amazon Prime, you can do that for free, which is a pretty cool way to support the site at zero cost to you. And also, if you like the work that we do around here and you want us to you want to help out the site further without spending money as well. Well, I guess you do kind of have to spend money, but you could go to toucharcade.com/Amazon and click through our referral link. And then everything that you buy on Amazon, we get a small percentage of, which is a great way to help the site, doing something that you probably were going to do anyway, and doesn't cost you anything extra. So, you know, if you do grocery shopping on Amazon or just buy random junk like I do on Amazon, toucharcade.com/Amazon first, and then just mash the Amazon logo and it'll send you over and just do your shopping as you would normally. And it helps us out quite a bit. Actually, been doing pretty well since we started promoting it. So that would be great to see that continue. Anything else that we're missing at the start of the show?
Should we mention that it's an ungodly early hour?
Oh yeah, we're recording very early in the day because I have so much junk to do. Because I, for whatever reason, decided to... Well, so WWDC is in San Jose this year. Mm-hmm. And I decided to fly into SJC, whatever that is, San Jose Central. I don't know. Something. What does the C stand for?
Cool place.
Instead of San Francisco. Like in San Francisco to Chicago is a lot like New York to Chicago in that you can basically just fly whenever you feel like it. Like there's always a flight going to San Francisco. Yeah. Direct to San Jose, not so much. So it was either like, all right, do you want to get in super early or get in super late? So I was like, well, I have to go to the keynote on Monday, so I didn't want to like land at like midnight, you know.
And, what time you get there?
I'll be in at noon.
Okay.
On Sunday.
I'm taking the train down, and I should also be there around noon.
Is the train in the airport close?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The train station is like right by the arena.
That where, also means Sharks nothing play to me. And stuff. The Sharks, the local.
We'll
sports team.
we'll probably be able to find each other in San Jose.
Hopefully, yeah. So
hopefully,
WWDC is going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I actually have a full WWDC pass. So I'm going to try to linger around as many of the sessions as I can and things like that, and meet up with developers that are actually there. And then I guess Jared can meet up with people outside because you don't have a pass, or see whatever. The whole MacRumors crew is going too. So I genuinely have no idea what everyone's planning on doing. It seems kind of,
I don't know.
Seems kind of silly to me, but whatever. Sunday is Jared's birthday, so we're going to celebrate that there by drinking 1 to 2 Coors Lights and maybe having pizza.
Mm-hmm. 1 to 2.
A normal adult celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think WWDC will be kind of interesting. Apple's already kind of, you know, ramped up their... they always like bragging about different stats and stuff like that, you know, ahead of WWDC. And they... trying to find the story that I posted. I think it was yesterday. Yeah. So Apple has announced that they've paid developers $70 billion since the launch of the App Store.
I mean, that's a pretty crazy number.
It is. But I mean, like, I, you know, I kind of can see the matrix in these stats that Apple does after doing this for so many years now, you know, because like there's a few things that Apple loves doing. They love talking about how much money they paid developers, and they love talking about how many apps there are on the App Store, right? When in actuality, it's like, all right, well, if you look behind the curtain on this, like $70 billion is probably primarily gone to like Supercell, Machine Zone, and like the free-to-play giants. Meanwhile, you know, there's a million apps, millions and millions of apps on the App Store. You know, and most of those are people making absolutely no money.
I'd love if you took the top 10 earners of that out to see what the number left would be.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, I guess you'd have to do like top 10 earners every year. Well, I guess.
And the other crazy thing is that $70 billion paid out means that Apple took in $30 billion with their cut.
Yeah.
Which is kind of.
Well, yeah, I don't know if the. Yeah, I guess that probably would be after Apple's cut, huh? I don't know. It's just kind of annoying, though, that like Apple loves, you know, like boasting about these stats, right? But at the same time, it's like, dude, like this looks good on paper, but in reality, like the app ecosystem is fucked. And like, I just don't know if like Apple leadership is just surrounded by yes men, or if they look at it as like, well, dude, look how well Supercell's doing. Like, look what's possible.
Yeah. I think they try to spin anything they can in the most positive way that they can. And they do love their numbers. So it sucks to like, you know, this seems like such a cool thing. And then you think about what it actually means. It's the same thing with their bragging about how many apps are in the App Store.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. You have a billion apps.
95% of those are total garbage.
Yeah. So who cares?
Yeah. I don't know. It's, so I guess we'll see. I'm sure, you know, they'll sell more iPhones than ever before, and that'll be announced at WWDC, and more people than ever before have updated iOS 10, and then iOS 11's right around the corner, which is going to smoke out our app and a bunch of other stuff. And
I am very curious if they'll detail all of that stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like WWDC is going to be interesting. People are expecting new iPads, which seems sort of obvious because there hasn't been a major iPad update in quite a while.
Yeah.
Potentially new MacBooks, if anyone is interested in that. So
I am interested in that because I'm sort of due, and then the new ones they announced last year didn't really do it for me. I mean, I played with them in the stores and stuff, and I liked them, and I think they're great computers and blah, 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 but not enough to, like, jump onto one yet, especially with all the rumors already that there's going to be these new ones. So
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's always new computers. And it's gotten kind of, I feel like the way that they brag about performance increases on processors these days is getting like more and more misleading, because you're like, oh my God, 30% faster. But in actuality, it's like, well, no, it's up to 30% faster in very specific tasks that you might not be doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Any modern computer is good, I guess. Let's see. What other kind of news should we talk about, as long as we're in the newsy section here?
News mood.
So this is kind of interesting. The Knights of Pen and Paper 2 has been re-released as a free-to-play game. Or I guess like kind of like retuned as a free-to-play game. So instead of being $5, it's now free, and you buy basically coins in games to boost your kind of progress along. Which, I mean, I don't know. So a lot of people have been really upset about this. Yeah. And I think the thing that most people are misunderstanding is that, like, no developer is ever happy to totally retune their games.
No. Like, that means something has gone wrong.
Yeah. Like, if you see someone doing that, it means that this is like a last-ditch effort to try to not totally lose your ass on a project.
Yeah.
And, like, I looked up Knights of Pen and Paper 2 on App Annie, which, you know, granted, is not, you know, the super gold standard of, you know, one-to-one reality, but it's still a pretty good indicator, right? Especially on paid apps, you know, as far as like how much money they've made, because I feel like that's a lot of guesstimating on the free-to-play side, but like they can you know, have a pretty good idea of how many downloads a paid app is getting, and, you know, you can see the price point. So, you know, very simple math to get that, and a lot less kind of like witchcraft behind the scenes. But Appany's estimating that Knights of Pen and Paper, you know, to date has made $60,000.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it was kind of, I don't know. It's weird because, you know, you tell people that and they're like, well, that's more than I make in a year.
Yeah, but you're one person.
Yeah, but like you're one person, and you know you're getting a paycheck, which is to you 100% profit. Like you're trading your time for that money, right? And there's that time doesn't have a cost to you,
right?
Whereas Knights of Pen and Paper was, you know, published by Paradox and made by actual real deal developers. We met him at GDC. I want to say there were three guys from that team at GDC. So I don't know how many people specifically made the game, but, you know, even say, you know, just those three guys alone, that's $20,000 a piece, assuming Paradox took nothing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, are you going to work on a video game for years for $20,000? Like, I don't think that, you know, most people would be on board with that. So
no, it's pretty crazy. And it's a nice game. Like, it's a nice follow-up to the first one. And the funny thing is, I actually think this game fits free to play better than paid anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a grindy. I mean, it's a free to play game, really. I mean, this is probably the way they should have been right from the start.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like the transition makes so much sense that, like, yeah. I'm really sort of curious if they weren't like, hey, dude, like, let's make this game free to play, like, from the ground up, but we'll just charge $5 for it and include a coin doubler or, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
And that made the transition super simple.
Yeah.
But I, you know, couldn't tell you for sure on that, obviously. But
I don't know. I'm in the camp of if this game was either going to just disappear forever or come back because it's a free to play game now, I'd rather have it at least exist.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So I don't know. We'll kind of, I guess, see what happens with that. But I don't know. The thing too is, like, it's hard to think of very many success stories when it comes to games that transition to free to play that then just kind of like exploded, right?
Yeah.
You know, usually
Temple Run.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Temple Run was like one of the first to do it. In update news, Waking Mars, which was our 2012 game of the year, got updated for 64-bit, leaving Ridiculous Fishing as our only game of the year, which is yet to be updated.
It's in the works, apparently.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, whatever you do.
The last 5 years.
So I picked up a battery. This is kind of tangentially related, but you can plug your stuff into it, too. So the Switch is kind of an interesting device in that it uses way more power than mobile devices typically do. It requires 18 watts of power to charge, and I think like the iPhone is only like two, maybe, or less than that. I don't remember. I want to say it's in the single digits, right? So most common portable batteries are based on the idea of like, oh, all right, we're going to charge your phone with it. And then, you know, you can buy some more like high-end batteries made for charging your tablet that can do, I want to say like 12 watts is the iPad, like a full speed iPad charging battery. I don't know.
I know nothing.
Probably look this up. But if you plug one of those, you know, like your existing iPad battery pack into a Switch to charge it while you're playing it on the go, what'll happen is it'll still discharge, but just discharge slower. Like it can't charge as fast as it needs power to play, which is kind of silly. Like, you know, being on a flight and playing and being like, oh God, like please, between these two batteries, like just last another couple hours. Because the Switch battery, like, I don't know, like it works, but I mean, at least when you're playing Zelda and stuff like that, you got like 3 hours.
It goes pretty quick.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, it's weird too, because you have that same problem even with plugging it into the wall. If you're not using the right cord, you could be not charging as fast as you're using up the juice.
Right. Like if you're using I got a USB-C cable just to plug my controller in and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like that won't, at least with the charger that I have now, which, you know, just plugs into a normal USB port, doesn't charge it fast enough to play while I charge, which is kind of annoying. But anyway, so Anker and a few other battery providers have released I guess the new spec is called USB PD, which stands for power delivery, and these new batteries can deliver like the full 18 watts, so you can actually like charge your Switch while you play on the go, which is pretty cool. And but the drawback here is, and I don't know if this is just the first one they released or if there's more stuff in the pipeline or like this much power requires like this big of a battery, but man, this thing is huge and it's heavy.
Do you have it with you?
I don't have it near me, but I have it upstairs somewhere.
What sucks about this is I just bought an Anker PowerCore 20,000 or whatever. It's basically like, I don't know, similar size in my other battery packs, a little bit larger than an iPhone and quite a bit thicker and heavier. But it was like, you know, you can charge your phone like 7 different times on it or before it dies or whatever. And so I was like, cool, going to be going traveling and stuff like that. Could use a new battery pack. And lots of times when I go on trips, my old Anker one, I could charge like 4 or 5 times. And so sometimes I wouldn't even bring a wall charger or just use the battery.
Yeah.
So decided to get this new one because it was super on sale. It's normally $90 and it was on sale for $30. And I was like, okay, cool. And ordered it and got it over the weekend. And then you immediately posted about this thing. And I was like, oh,
well, I mean, this is
that one seems.
I mean, you got the old one because this one's $100. Like, so would you have rather spent $30 for a massive battery or $100?
Well, having one that I know I could charge my Switch with would be helpful.
Yeah, but I mean, like that new one, like it'll do like I was saying, like it'll, you know, you can definitely easily double your playtime, but you know, it's not going to charge while playing. It just discharges slower. So
I guess for Switch purposes, I'll probably, maybe they'll come out with something super crazy in the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so here's my thing with this one is it's like 26,000 milliamp hours. And I think I wrote in here, the Switch has, I don't know, like I thought I added it in this article, but I guess not. Like the Switch, I want to say is like 4,000 ish milliamp hours. So like you can, you know, charge your Switch like just over and over and over and over and over with this.
That's right.
Which is cool, but like at the same time, like I would, like this thing weighs 3.3 pounds.
Yeah.
So, or I'm sorry, 1.3 rather. So it's like almost twice as heavy as the Switch itself. Mm-hmm. And it has enough juice to charge the thing, you know, several times over, which, mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, like all I need is enough battery to like make it through a flight, right? So. Yeah. Like just like a 5,000 milliamp hour one that I can, you know, fully charge my Switch like once off of would be more than enough, right? Because that would probably give me like six hours of playtime then. And then it would need to be the size of a, you know, reasonably large book.
Well, I'm curious now. I haven't tried to charge my Switch with the one I just bought, but now I'm curious to see how much juice it'll give it. I mean, it's normal USB, so it doesn't have all the cool power delivery stuff, but...
But it'll give it enough to...
If it gives it enough to make it last a little longer, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely will, because I have... You know, my old one that this thing replaced was similar to the one that you just got, and, I mean, it worked fine. It just, you know... It was just kind of dumb to be playing your Switch and have it, like, just slowly depleting the battery, even though it's plugged in. So... I don't know, like if that's an issue for you and you're traveling all the time with the Switch and wish you had better, you know, battery life, you know, you can pick this up. I almost would wait and see what Anker does, because I feel like this USB PD stuff is going to be like the new standard in the future.
Yeah,
particularly as, and this thing's actually powerful enough that it can charge a USB-C laptop too off of it. So I think as USB-C becomes like the... you know, more dominant like laptop power cord thing, like you're going to see more and more batteries switch over to this kind of thing. So
that cannot happen soon enough. And so like my Switch is the first USB-C thing I've owned. And so when I was trying to just get a longer cord so I could charge it and play while I'm on the couch, trying to find like the right cord that had the right specs, like there's like 30 different USB-C cords.
Yeah.
And they all have different things. And like, I feel like eventually we'll get past that. But, and you know, there'll be one standard where all the new cords, they do all the features.
Yeah.
But as it is right now, you could potentially go buy one that won't work for you because it doesn't do a specific USB-C feature, which I think is stupid.
I think it's like HDMI where like the different specs, like you just have to buy like the newest, most recent spec that does everything the previous ones do or didn't do. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way. And like buying USB-C cables right now is kind of annoying, like especially after reading... I don't remember if it was like Ars Technica or like one of those like PC hardware sites where some dude was going through and like testing the USB-C cables, and like a lot of them weren't even wired right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like a problem that's been solved, and those are like the very first USB-C cables that came out before like the spec was finalized or what, but like just kind of annoying that like USB-C should be this like universal standard, but it so far is kind of not.
It's kind of made things worse, I think, because just from a consumer standpoint, because most people aren't going to be looking up the very tiny details of all the specs and stuff like that. They're just going to buy a cord they see at the store and think it should work. So.
But at the same time, like, I don't have much of a concept of how much of a big deal it is. I mean, because, like, you know, like I said, HDMI seems like a good comparison. Like, you could just go, like, if you just want to hook your Blu-ray player up to your, you know, TV, like, any HDMI cable you can buy at Walmart would be fine. But if you're looking for, like, 4K, you know, 3D capable that can also do like Ethernet network over it, then like you need to get like the top tier one, which
But if you're in that boat, you probably know how to look for a cable.
Yeah, and I kind of I sort of suspect that USB-C is kind of a similar way. Like if all you want to do is charge your fucking switch, like I bet you could get just anything because it's just a copper wire that goes to the right connectors and there you go. But it has been kind of nice like having a USB-C MacBook and being able to just like be like, oh, my computer's full, my switch is dead, let me just plug this in, kind of thing, which I don't know, I'm always big into simplifying the amount of cords I have and have with me when I travel, so it's like real nice to just be able to, like what I do is I bring a long one and a short one, and like either can be used for either thing, and like if I need the extra distance because the wall jack's not far away, like I can just, you know, use the long one or the short one for my battery or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know, just, you know, tangentially related, I guess if you're looking for an external switch battery, like I would say wait or just, you know, buy a super cheap one now that, you know, you'll be happy with for the next year or so while this USB PD stuff kind of gets sorted out. Let's see, what other stuff should we talk about of the news this week? If you're a PC gamer at all, this is also kind of sort of related to the world of mobile. So First Strike, was that really cool, kind of like end of the world nuclear missile kind of war games game that came out?
Oh yeah, I remember that game.
I don't even know, like maybe
two years ago,
something like that.
Yeah.
So the dudes behind it like basically took that same game and like added all this crazy crap to it and are now selling it on Steam for, I don't remember how much, but it's not much more than the $4 that the App Store version costs. It seems weird that we didn't even link the Steam version. small oversight, I guess. So yeah, check that out, because I thought this game was really awesome when it came out on the iPad, and like, you know, more of that is cool. And I sort of suspect that like after this game runs its course on Steam, like this will also come over to the App Store, but you know, of course, everyone plays their cards very close to their chest when it comes to stuff like that. So,
holy moly, this game came out in December of 2013.
2013, wow. Well, First Strike.
Where does the time go?
Really cool game. So, be sure to give it a look. Vainglory got another big update, which really kind of tweaked out all their fast battle modes, which I sort of suspect, and I don't, you know, have any inside information to back this up or whatever, but I suspect that they were like, when they released their, I think they, what they call it, like battle royale, yeah, and Blitz, I think when they released those versions, they were like, oh shit, so many more people are playing these like 5-minute versions of the game than the half hour versions, which is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so it wouldn't surprise me if you saw like a lot more of their developer resources going into these kind of like fast mini game modes. Because, like, you know, we've talked about this a bunch. Like, if I'm going to sit down for a half hour of, like, uninterrupted gameplay, like, I'm just going to play League of Legends on my PC.
Yeah.
But you can't really play League of Legends in, you know, five-ish minutes or so. But you can play these, like, Vainglory modes, which, you know, pretty cool. Let's see. There's a new Minecraft update out, which adds the same Minecraft kind of marketplace stuff as the, basically, all the other versions of Minecraft have. So I guess if you haven't fiddled around with that lately, Minecraft has become home to just like a ridiculous amount of different cosmetic microtransactions you can get. Like the Switch one, you can, you know, get like Mario skins and different texture packs and like all this other stuff. So the new Pocket Edition, you know, adds a bunch of stuff to the game, including all this same kind of like marketplace stuff. That accounts to 6 different worlds, 2 survival spawns, 2 texture packs, and 4 skin packs, which you can buy with like the in-game coins or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. It's cool to see Minecraft Pocket Edition reach a kind of parity with the PC and, you know, console version, or at least get closer to it. Considering like when you look at the analytics of like who's playing Minecraft where, like Pocket Edition is by far like the primary platform that people are playing Minecraft on. So it's always been,
which blows me away.
Well, yeah, that kind of blows me away too. And it's always been a little amusing to me that like the way that most people are consuming Minecraft is like the most stripped down, like, and I think the shittiest version of the game,
but the most accessible.
But the most accessible, yeah. I mean, because yeah, you know, you can be like, "Hey, mom, give me Minecraft," and you know, they can be like, "All right, here's the iPad."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which even I mean, like Minecraft's an old game now, so like it'll run on any kind of reasonably modern computer. But I feel like that's it's kind of interesting how that has become like such a technical leap compared to like, oh, just download this, you know, $7 app.
Yeah.
Instead
of
like, oh, all right, let me install this thing on the computer and all this other stuff. So
It's crazy. It's made it too easy. And I remember even a couple of years ago, my friends that have younger kids, they were all playing Minecraft together on their different phones and tablets and stuff because they could play with each other. Like that was the number one thing. And it was like back then the Minecraft mobile version was still super stripped down. So it was like, oh, you know, the one on the laptop is better or whatever. And they don't care about that.
Yeah.
They just want to play with their friends and they want to see their friends in the same game world and build things and stuff.
No, it's actually kind of, so the PC version of Minecraft has become home to, and I only know this from talking to friends of mine that have kids and they're into Minecraft and stuff, but like, remember back in the day of like, you know, Napster and LimeWire and stuff like that, where it was like, once those got popular, it was like almost a skill to be like, all right, well, which of these is like the real song and which of these is like, you know, some weird like executable spyware thing, right?
Right. Right.
So Minecraft mods in the PC world are sort of in a similar boat right now, and that like of the sites you get them from are like, you know, filled with all those ads that are like the fake download buttons, which then take you know, like six different sites to download like all this other crap. And so I guess, I mean, from like a computer security standpoint, like it seems like the app version makes way more sense because your kids can't go like, you know, downloading all sorts of, there's like a new thing that I've been reading about that like malware is doing now, where it's like, you'll download this thing and it'll connect to someone else. And then it acts like a virus where it like encrypts all the files on your computer.
And that makes you pay Bitcoin.
Yeah. Like ransomware where they're like, all right, well, you know, we encrypted all your documents. You know, we'll give you the password to unencrypt it for $500 or, you know, send us like half a Bitcoin or something like that. And that's like just running rampant in the Minecraft world. Because, you know, as kids, they're just like, oh, yeah, I need to get, like, the Iron Man skin for my Minecraft. Yeah, just give me this. I'll download and click anything. I don't care.
Yeah.
What's this progress bar that's taking an hour? I don't know.
I'll click anything.
Yeah, maybe it's fine. Another kind of cool thing that's going on this week is Sony has put up a pre-registration thing for Everybody's Golf, which is that's what Hotshots Golf is known as in Japan. So there's been some like pretty positive early impressions of the game from people in Japan that have tried it. And, you know, people are saying they'll have eight player online play, and I'm sure it'll be, you know, free to play out the woe with all the, and because like Hotshots Golf was a game anyway, where you would unlock coins and get like hats and clubs and all sorts of dumb crap like that. So,
right.
I mean, honestly, like that game has had free to play trimming since like forever, since you paid $60 or $40 for it or whatever on consoles and PSP and stuff. So I'm pretty excited for that because Hotshots Golf was always like my go-to kind of golf game. And we've talked about this in the past where it's like it hits the perfect note for me between like real deal sports game and like arcadey kind of action. Because like I don't understand like all the ins and outs of, you know, like why you'd use a specific club in golf and things like that. But like, you know, Hotshots Golf dumbs it down enough to the point where it's like, oh, use your super driver and like, you know, get the power up and stuff like that. Then get the ball to the hole. And so this should be pretty good. Hopefully it comes to the West. Like that's the only kind of nebulous thing right now is like whether or not it's going to be a Japanese only thing or if it's going to get,
I think it'll have to come here.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like
it's a big enough brand.
It would seem crazy to me that this wouldn't come to, you know, the U.S. App Store. So I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled for that. Framed 2, which I actually got a look at in PAX Australia, is going to be released on June 14th. So
that's soon.
Yeah, that will be during E3. So I don't know if that's a good time or bad time to release, but yeah, basically every Australian I follow on Twitter was going nuts about that this morning. So, and last but not least, the only other kind of big news story I think we should talk about is if you have ever done one of Sean's RPG Reload playalongs, this month is Final Fantasy V. If not, it's a really cool thing. Basically, Sean picks a old classic RPG that you know you may or may not have played before, and everyone downloads it and kind of like shares their experiences in a forum thread. And even if you, I don't know, I think it's cool to play the game and like you know follow along and read what people are doing and things like that. Yeah. But like even if you don't, like it's still kind of neat, like seeing all the different kind of approaches and experiences that people are having inside these old games that you likely. You know, if you played them the first time around when they were originally released, like you didn't have the internet to talk to people about like, oh, my God, I'm here. Yeah. Like, you know, and all this other stuff. So
now I always intend to play along for reals with these, but never have the time. But I always read the threads and follow along with what other people are doing. So I live vicariously through them.
Yeah, I always have like the intention to play along and I'll play like I'll like download the game, play like 2 hours and then be like, oh, shit, I didn't pick this up for the rest of the month. So the so Final Fantasy V has like a pretty crazy job system. So there's a lot of there's going to be a lot of like crazy variation in different people's runs. Like I'd be very surprised if anyone like any two people like had the same run unless people are going for like, you know, the most insane combinations you can possibly do. So should be fun to follow along and you read people breaking the game. So you can the thread is in the
general.
Yeah, the general forum. On our forum, so the general game discussion and questions forum. Otherwise, you can just you know go to you know Google Touch Arcade RPG Reload, and it'll probably be the first thing that comes up.
Well, this also this also coincides with the four job fiesta, which is a thing they do once a year, where people go through and play Final Fantasy V, but they get assigned random jobs for their entire party, and you have to adhere to those random jobs and finish the game, and you know, I think they do like I think certain people stream it and stuff like that and they collect money for charity and all this sort of stuff. But it's something Sean's been doing every year for who knows, probably as long as it's been going on. So it actually sort of coincides a little bit. It doesn't start until the 19th of this month. So it starts a bit late. But Sean's kind of laid out the plan, like if you want to wait for this to start and play along and do the fiesta thing, you can do that. And there will be other people doing that, too. Or. You can start it now and just kind of play through normally. He kind of suggests if you've never played it before, just play it normally through. Don't do the fiesta thing because it'll just make it hard for you. But it's kind of a neat thing. I always thought this was a cool little thing that they did yearly where they, you know, the main person, you can vote on what job systems they have to use, the person who streams it or whoever the featured player is. And everyone always tries to vote like the worst job systems that'll make their playthrough just be so hard. So that's always kind of funny.
Yeah.
But so, kind of a neat thing, too, that it's cool that it coincides with what he's doing this month.
Yeah. So the four job fiesta starts on June 19th and ends on August 31st. It's a charity thing. And last year they raised just shy of $20,000 for Child's Play. So,
wow, that's impressive.
That's a thing you're into. There's also a link to that in Sean's post. So, again, you can either just Google Four Job Fiesta or, you know, find Sean's post and look that up. So I don't know if there's anything else we should really talk about. We can switch gears to discussing some of the new games that came out this week.
All right.
So let's start with the Crazy Taxi game.
Okay.
So this is Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire, which I don't know. Like, so if you haven't seen this game or heard anything about it yet, it's like if you took Crazy Taxi and turned into like an idle kind of clicker.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Tapper kind of upgrader thing.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how I feel about all this.
I like that it has a lot of personality. It's definitely got a lot of Crazy Taxi flair, which I think is kind of cool. It's got
Offspring music too.
Blair's Offspring right when you start up. So, I mean, that's cool. Like, I like the idea behind it. Like, I think as far as, like, you know, you could take a popular known brand and just sort of slap it on a very generic sort of like clicker skin, and that would be fine. But I feel like they took the time to make this feel more authentic. And, you know, kind of like the recent ones, like the Trailer Park Boys or the Office Space or whatever. Like, I feel like you could tell the people that made the game care about the property they were using to make the game. And I feel that way about this. Like, it's got a lot of silliness that feels very Crazy Taxi to me. But that said, it's not going to, like, change your mind if you don't already like clickers or idle games or whatever. I mean, yeah. It's not really a clicker. It's more idle game. But, yeah, if you're not into that sort of thing, then it's not really going to matter to you. But I don't know. It's definitely got that sort of addictive upgrade loop sort of thing going on for it. So, yeah, it seems like a very well-made game for this type of game.
It just seems strange to me that, like, they would choose... I don't know, like, for me, Crazy Taxi, like, the fun part is the driving, right?
Yeah, it's funny, like, they automate all the fun stuff, and you can watch your little car drive around and do all this silly stuff, and you're like, I want to be doing that.
Yeah, like, that's what's strange to me. But so I download the game, right, and I'm like, oh, what's this all about? Oh, it's in portrait mode, that's weird. Knowing nothing about it other than the title, and I was like, all right, well, maybe this is going to be, you know, like a three-lane racer kind of thing where they kind of, like, dumbed down Crazy Taxi.
I could see that being very disappointing.
And then it was like, oh.
Cool, new Crazy Taxi. I can't wait to play this.
All right. So they took everything that I liked about Crazy Taxi out.
Yeah.
And you don't drive, and instead you just upgrade your stuff.
Yeah.
Which... You know, again, you know, like Jared was saying, like, as far as idle clickers are concerned, this is a very good one. But
yeah, it is. I guess the only saving grace with that is that there's they did just update the old Crazy Taxi while also turning it free to play. But
right, well, see, that's kind of the other thing was I was like, that was kind of the other thing that annoyed me about this was I was thinking like, all right, well, you know, if you heard there's a new Crazy Taxi game and like you're disappointed that it's just like free to play idle clicker sort of thing. Like, you can at least go buy the original Crazy Taxi and just play that. And I was like, well, true. Shit, no, you can't anymore. Like, that's also a free-to-play game. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I actually played... When they flipped it to free-to-play, I actually downloaded... I have never deleted the old Crazy Taxi. And so I updated it to see how bad it was. And since I had already had it, I don't get any ads or anything. But... Man, the game's still so fun. It's still so hard to not just keep playing over and over.
Yeah,
it's high time for an actual new Crazy Taxi.
I agree. Although it's interesting, like where Sega is now as far as like their game properties are concerned. Because like, did you see the new? I don't remember what the title is, but the Sonic game for the Switch that's coming out soon. I think it's a downloadable game for a lot more platforms. But
you mean not Sonic Mania, the Sonic. Whatever the other one.
Yeah. So
like, yeah, I'm not into that at all.
$20 downloadable Sonic game. Which I don't know. It seems weird to me that like if you would have told me when I was like arguing in, you know, grade school about whether Nintendo or Sega was better, that you would be able to suggest like, oh well, one day like Sega is gonna be doing so shitty that they won't even be able to sell their, you know, main IP side scroller game for any more than like a $20 downloadable title.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird to me too. Because that's, you're talking about Sonic Mania, the Christian Whitehead one, right?
The one that's coming out soon. Like the real deal, like new 2D side scroller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's sort of fascinating too, because that's like a full blown old school Sonic title made by the guys that did all the great remastered stuff. So, yeah. And they're billing it as like the true, you know, in the trailer for that game, they don't even mention Sonic 4 at all. It's 1, 2, 3, Knuckles, and now this. So it's like supposedly the new entry in those original games that everyone loves so much. So yeah, $20 seems like kind of a steal, but.
It's just so strange. I mean, cause like that would have been like a system seller. Right back in the day, like question, it would have been like, oh my god, I gotta get the new Sega thing for this, you know, new Sonic game. And now it's like Sega has like so ruined the Sonic brand that it's gonna be like a, you know, just another downloadable title taking place somewhere, you know, on the various downloadable stores.
Well, the funny thing is the other Sonic game that they're making concurrently with Mania. Mania is like the throwback 2D game, and now they're also making another like new 3D game or whatever. I forget the actual name of it. But anyway, I think that game looks like shit, and that's going to be like the $60 game. you know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with skipping that. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like,
I'm much more looking forward to the Sonic Mania.
I just wish I could understand like what went so wrong with the Sonic brand as a whole.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I think the answer is 3D Sonics, right?
Oh, Sonic Forces is the one I'm thinking of.
The Sonic, the first 3D one, which I think was on Dreamcast, was actually pretty decent. But yeah, then they just like went crazy with.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 are not bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. And see, what's weird is with Sonic Forces is they're trying to do that. There's two Sonics, the old one and the new one. And some levels are 2D and some are 3D. And I hate that whole two Sonic thing. I feel like it never worked before. I don't know why they're doing it now.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, it's just kind of interesting to think that, like, Mario is still so strong that, like, people were buying the Switch just based on, like, the little 30-second tease of the new Switch Super Mario, right? And, like, you know, Sega can't sell a Sonic game for the life of them, which I don't know. But, yeah. So, anyway, Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire, I guess a pretty wild tangent there. But, you know, it's a cool idle game. I would at least check it out. I feel like this is going to be another good thing for people that hate mobile games to point at as like a terrible example of what mobile has done to gaming, right? But at the same time, like, I don't know, it's kind of hypnotizing. Like, once you get a bunch of taxis, like, you know, flying around the city and numbers are popping up everywhere and you're filling up all your progress bars and
it does all the good idle game stuff.
It's doing all that stuff. So I don't know. Yeah, so I just unlocked a new area here.
I think a lot of people got that out of their system with the last Crazy Taxi mobile game, the City Rush, that was a new Crazy Taxi game, but it was more like a Temple Run sort of game.
Yeah, oh, yes.
People were super mad about that. They were like, oh, wait all these years for a new Crazy Taxi, and this is what we get.
Yeah.
Although that game seems to have done well.
Yeah, so I guess we'll... Are people angry about this, have you seen, so far?
Not yet. It's mostly I've seen people be like, this is surprisingly cool.
Yeah, well, I guess there you go. So, yeah, like I said, I would at least give it a try. Like, if nothing else, it's interesting. It's just like the Trailer Park Boys game, and it's interesting how well they applied the IP to the existing kind of thing. So let's talk about Bouncy Hoops. This is the...
Bouncy Hoops.
New Noodle Cake game this week. Yeah. Actually, this game is surprisingly sticky for me. I was playing the shit out of it on my iPhone. It's like if you combined the classic Flash game, like Kick-Ups. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Which was a game where you just kind of like juggled a soccer ball. Or, you know, a variety of balls. I guess it didn't have to be a soccer ball. I'm sure like any Flash game, there's 10 million clones and other varieties. With like flappy mechanics and then like a basketball kind of thing.
Yeah. It's all those things. And it's funny because it's like, it's so weird how the flappy mechanic, I feel like is so still, there's so much more it can do. You know what I mean?
I know.
You're just like, okay, flappy games are flapped out years ago, whatever. And then something like this comes along and you're like, okay, this just works so perfectly. I hate it. I hate how fun
it's
it
so
is.
So perfect, I hate it.
Yeah.
No, what I love about this game though is that I don't know if you've had it happen yet, but when you the way it works, you have a timer, and you have to get it in the next hoop, and basketball hoops are just constantly spawning before the timer goes up. But you can, much like basketball, if your ball is in the air when the timer is up. Mm-hmm. And you get, you know, you get it through the hoop and stuff like that still counts and it keeps the game going.
There's no better feeling than that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
When you're like about to die and it's just barely bouncing on the rim and your time's up and it goes through anyway. And you're like, oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. That...
So I know this is such a Mike Mead game. And I noticed he's on the leaderboards with 197.
197.
I am at 94, which I thought was pretty good.
I don't know.
Carter only has 62. So at least I'm beating Carter. But yeah, this game, man, it sucks because it's like so dumb, but it's so fun. And even at GDC, when Noodlecake, this wasn't one of the games they wanted to, you know, it wasn't quite ready to show on camera. And so we didn't do like a write up for it or anything like that, but they had it on their phone. They're like, check this thing out. And I'm like, cool. And they're like, yeah, just some silly flappy thing or whatever. And I was like, this is fun. This is really good. I want to keep playing this. Can I keep playing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like, this thing has the special sauce.
Another thing that's amusing about the way the physics of it work is that you can actually like fly up through a basketball hoop. And as long as you fly back down it, like it counts.
Yeah. The little details are what makes this game great, I think. There's a ton of basketballs you can unlock and different parks you can play hoops at. And it's just so stupid, but so fun.
Have you seen any interstitial ads in this at all? Or just ads to get coins and stuff?
I've watched an ad to continue, and I bought the coin doubler ball for $1. And I think that disables ads. So, I don't know if there's probably ads at some point. I never came across before I bought that, though. I played plenty of games and never saw it. So,
yeah, no, they really did a good job of like nailing, like how quickly you, like come back and do a game.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm on fire now. It's the first time it's
fire.
So you get, there's multipliers for getting like a clean through the hoop with no bounce and stuff. And when you get five, I guess you go on fire. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get an interstitial after so many. So you can watch an ad for Fairway Solitaire if you're watching the video version. But yeah, a bunch of different balls. Do the balls do anything other than cosmetic stuff that you've seen so far? The only ones I've gotten are just to like change the color of it.
Just the only one I bought was the coin doubler one, and you have to use that specific ball to get double coins. So,
oh really?
But that other than that, I think they're all just cosmetic.
Yeah, but
it'd be fun to have like balls with different like weights or you know gravities or something like that to kind of mess with your flapping.
You'd have to do like individual leaderboards, I think, for those particular balls, in case there's one that
more
like,
work than Noodlecake is willing to do.
Like really breaks the physics or something.
But it's funny because like, they're publishing all these really awesome upcoming games, and they had a bunch of stuff at GDC they were super excited about, which I am also excited about. Like they were showing some of the best stuff we saw that week, and then there's this Flabby game which they're like a little dismissive about because I almost feel like people are embarrassed to be like, yeah, it's this flappy game, you know, whatever. And I almost wonder if it's going to end up being like a flappy golf situation where like, you know, they put all this hard work and time into, you know, Stickman Golf and then release Flappy Golf is almost a joke. And that ends up being their like top earning game or whatever. And so I'm not going to be surprised if this comes out to be like the topping the charts tomorrow and is their highest earning game this year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that would be great if it did, right? I mean, but yeah,
I don't think they'll argue, but
this game
it is kind of funny to just be like, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to explain like, oh, this game is so silly and simple and dumb, and also it's like the best game I'm playing right now.
So I just discovered you can get extra points for doing a high shot. It makes me wonder how many different trick shots there are in the game.
Oh, so high shot, going off the backboard, going from behind the backboard, I think you can do. There's all these. The little details are really cool in this game.
Now I'm getting quite a few interstitial ads, but I guess if you've got none with the coin doubler, though, and you like the game, just...
What the hell is happening in this ad?
We're going to analyze forensic data for clues. I don't know. These hidden object games have gotten, like, really over the top.
Kidding. Is this like CSI, the hidden object game?
Probably. Homicide Squad by G5 Games. I think there is an actual like CSI.
That looked kind of cool.
Well, the G5 hidden object games are all really good if you're into hidden object stuff. I mean, they've been killing
it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like although I really like the hidden object like Highlights Magazine stuff as a kid, which you'd think that I'd be more into the hidden object stuff, but I don't know. But yeah, you know, this game has Crossy Road style monetization. Like you get, you know, free gifts every once in a while, like notifications when you get a new one, and you know, watch ads to, you know, double your intake of coins and stuff. I think.
This is It's nothing more than a high score chaser, but man, it's a good one.
All the things you would expect. But yeah, seriously, give what's the title of this game again? It's
Bouncy
Hoops. Hoops.
Yeah.
So definitely give that a look. The other game that I've kind of had on my radar this week is this Yante's Peak.
Yankai's
Peak.
Yeah, I've been playing this too. This game is holy crap. This game's amazing.
I'm trying to figure out how to get back to the early levels so I can easily describe what I'm doing here.
Well, you were right at the beginning part, which oh, here you go.
Yeah, so you play
this is the very beginning.
You play as a pyramid shape, right?
Yeah.
And you just kind of swipe to go down, and your pyramid can roll on its different sides. So imagine a game like Edge or another.
It reminded me of Edge, yeah.
Another game like that, except instead of rolling on the cube faces, you're rolling on the shape of this pyramid. So the game has you go through a couple different levels where you are. It's teaching you, you can go down, you can go to the side, you just have to go with the stages of, how the pyramid rotates. And then they throw you a curveball and are like, all right, well, you can tap to lock on to another pyramid. So on the third level, it asks you to, tap here, and then you rotate this as the two as a group. And then the levels get more complicated because you have two different colors of pyramids that you need to get into the right location. So I latched on to the red pyramid, rotated it down until it was on the red space, and then tapped again to detach from it. Oops. And then you put the blue where it's supposed to go, and that's kind of the game.
This is a hard to explain in words game.
Yeah, no, this is one of those games that you'll look at the screenshots or whatever, or if you're watching the video version, you'll be like, oh yeah, dude, I totally understand what you're doing. But very, very difficult to describe. This is a premium puzzle game, right? It's $2, I want to say.
I think it's $4. Whatever it is, it's worth it. This game is awesome. What's cool is I think you should. Oh, yeah, you're here right now. So you go through those first couple stages, which are really basic, okay, this is how you move your triangle and this is how you push other triangles or whatever. And then it brings you to this level where you're just shoving triangles off into the void, and there's just triangles floating up high and down below. And then things start moving all jittery and slow, and you're like, is my phone okay? And then you keep moving it, and things get slower and slower and slower, and finally it just goes to black screen, and it tricks you into thinking your phone crashed, which I don't know how we got away with adding this into the game. I've seen multiple people be like, oh, my game crashed on level 3, what do I do, blah, 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 and you really just have to wait there for 10 seconds, and it's actually part of the intro. But yeah, things start getting all crazy and sluggish.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what the hell is going on here? And then it opens up, and it's like a freaking Bond movie intro. The way the title credits, this is a game by Kenny Sun, who's made a bunch of really cool mobile games, and the title credits are all these different triangles kind of rotating and moving around in a very stylistic kind of way, just like a Bond intro. The credits are all his different versions of his name, which I thought was really silly too, but yeah, this totally blew me away just from it doesn't have much purpose, but it just from a presentation standpoint, I was like, this is the coolest intro to a game I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the thing now is you need some kind of fancy sort of way to have your game stand apart, right? If this guy just released it, he's like, all right, this is a triangle pusher. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, totally. And it's funny because it's I remember there was you make your glass on your phone broke app or whatever to prank your friends or something. And then Apple was like, you can't simulate the screen breaking in an app or whatever. And so, I think they've relaxed on that since that was several years ago, but I'm curious, how, if anybody played this at Apple and was like, hey, you can't fake your phone crashing and performing poorly. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, I just want to know how he got away with that. But I thought it was also just so such a brilliant way to intro the game. And then the game itself is like, God, it is tough. I don't even know. I'm probably not even five levels past that intro. Because there's one level where you eventually have multiple different color triangles. And since in general, the paths are all very linear, you kind of have to find the right way to hook on and push. So that the triangle you're pushing pushes the triangles behind that and the triangle behind that. And you sort of create this chain reaction of pushing. And it's just brain breaking difficult, at least for me. So, much like the previous game, Yenkai's Triangle, which I played when it came out and was like, that's kind of cool, and never really thought much more about. And then Sean at some point mentioned, he was like, oh, I love that game. I don't even sit down. It's like the kind of game, it's almost like a toy. Like I sit down to do something and I'll pull my phone out and I'll just like mess around with the triangles and sometimes solve a puzzle and sometimes not. But I look at it more as like a toy, as like a game. And when he said something along those lines, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I re-downloaded it and got totally hooked on it from that perspective, where it's like, okay, it's just something you kind of pull out and just like it's a fidget spinner before there was fidget spinners, like just kind of tool around with triangles or whatever. I feel like this game has sort of that similar quality where you're like, okay, I'm on this really friggin' hard level and I'm just going to tool around with things and maybe eventually figure it out. But either way, I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I think those are the three games that we spent the most time with this week, or at least I spent the most time with trying to get ready for WWDC and stuff. So yeah, Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire, Bouncy Hoops and Yenkai's Peak are all really good games we're checking out. So I don't know. Let's end this podcast a little early this week. I have a ton to do before I fly out. I guess so. We'll go through this stuff again. If you like what we do around here at TouchArcade, please support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/TouchArcade. You can also subscribe to us on Twitch, twitch.tv/TouchArcade. If you got Amazon Prime, you can do it for free. What else do we need? Oh, yeah. So also shopping through Amazon or shopping on Amazon through our link at toucharcade.com/Amazon is super helpful to us. Appreciate it if anyone does that. If you want to send us an email, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. We also appreciate iTunes reviews of any kind. And I guess we'll see.
Watch us all next week. We should hopefully have a bunch of WWDC stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with WWDC. So keep your eyes peeled on Touch Arcade for the latest, greatest, and all that fun stuff. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week on some iteration of the Touch Arcade show.